Hello, Hare Krishna. Welcome to our international listening audience at Krishna.com. In honor of the month of Damodar, we're going to be reading the story of Binding Sri Krishna from Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Srila Kavi Karnapur. The following episode occurred one day during Krishna's transcendental pastimes in Gokula. Though any number of maidservants could have done this chore, Yashoda tactfully engaged them elsewhere in order to show her expertise in preparing butter. With her own hands, which appeared as soft and elegant as lotus flowers, Yashoda personally churned butter for her beloved boy. The beauty of her delicate arms put lotus stems to shame as she rhythmically pulled the ropes back and forth. The jingling of her emerald-studded bangles resounded like the bells on the feet of a dancer. As Yashoda's hair loosened and became wet from the exertion of churning, it looked like the open tail feathers of a jubilant peacock. When her hair braid untied, the jewels, flowers, and peacock feathers decorating it fell on the ground. As shooting stars beautify the dense darkness of night, similarly, these falling items increased the beauty of the earth. The necklace on her raised breast swung back and forth with the movements of her blouse. The shining effulgence emanating from her jeweled earrings appeared like a constant flow of nectar. Bathed in the sweet mellows of maternal affection, Yashoda's neck and shoulders looked exceedingly beautiful. The ornamental belt surrounding her highly raised hips appeared captivating. The radiant gems and tinkling bells on that belt further increased its elegance. Drenched in a river of devotional perspiration, Yashoda's delicate body looked delightful. The sweetness of this scene defeated the beauty of seeing a swarm of intoxicated bees buzzing over a blooming lotus flower. A loud sound, resembling the roaring of the ocean, rose out of the wide mouth of Yashoda's butter pot. The drops of yogurt spilling out of the pot and falling on the golden border of Yashoda's sari made it look even more attractive. As Yashoda passed the time, remembering Krishna, she recalled the enchanting look in her son's eyes whenever he got caught stealing butter. At that time, he would proudly say, "Mother, you should know that I am expert in this art of stealing." Krishna felt hungry and anxious to drink Yashoda's breast milk. In a threatening voice, Krishna said, "Either you stop to feed me, or I will break the churning pot." Suddenly, the one who churns the hearts of everyone in creation forcefully caught the churning rod. Yashoda stopped and sat Krishna on her lap and happily fed him. While gazing at his loosely hanging, curly dark hair, Yashoda's heart swelled with appreciation of Krishna's wonderfully gentle nature. Just at that time, in the kitchen, some boiling milk foamed up in a pot. Fearing it might spill over, Yashoda left her son and ran to the kitchen. This deeply pierced the core of Krishna's heart. Becoming angry, he picked up a rock and broke the butter pot. Churned butter flowed in all directions across the floor. In a fearful yet playful mood, Krishna ran through the butter and romped from room to room, engaging in more mischief. Stealthily entering the milk storeroom, Krishna quickly ate small amounts of freshly churned butter from various pots. From relishing his favorite food, he soon felt satisfied and gave up his anger. Then Sri Hari, who is worshipped by all the demigods, snatched a pot of butter and ran into the courtyard. The pastimes Krishna enjoyed at this time appeared to be classic performances on a dramatic stage. While standing on a grinding mortar in the courtyard and anxiously looking around for Mother Yashoda, Krishna fed fresh butter to all the assembled children and monkeys. The fortunate Yashoda, whose jewel-like son benedicts the entire creation, took the boiling milk off the stove and returned to Krishna. The fame of attaining Krishna as her son enhanced the brilliant beauty of Yashoda's body. She wanted to embrace her son and console him, but not finding him there, she became morose. In a mood of lamentation, she frantically searched everywhere for Krishna. She found some broken pots, emitting innumerable streams of yogurt that flowed across the floor, making it slippery and white in color. Out of anger, Krishna had smashed many clay pots, which now lay strewn on the floor in hundreds of pieces. Mother Yashoda thought, "Alas, what has happened? Why is this yogurt pot broken?" At first, she could not understand, but upon seeing a small rock, she concluded that Krishna had perpetuated this naughty act. With a look of surprise, Mother Yashoda touched the tip of her nose with the index finger of her beautiful left hand and thought, "How could my child show such impudence? I tried so patiently to train him properly, so how could he behave so horribly?" Although no impurities resided in her heart, Yashoda appeared to manifest a special form of motherly pride. Showing false anger, she thought, "The glories of my son's transcendental pastimes are unlimited. His every action increases his own pride and pleasure, while simultaneously creating a festival for one and all. He derives boundless happiness by his constant pastimes of stealing." As soon as Krishna, who enchants the demigods with his beautiful body, the color of a monsoon cloud, saw Mother Yashoda coming out of the house, he jumped up in fear and ran away as fast as possible. Expertly understanding the human-like nature of her son, Yashoda chased after him, calling, "Stop running! Stop! Oh, you foremost cheater in the world!" Krishna kept looking fearfully back over his shoulder while running away from Yashoda. Though Yashoda felt fatigued and mentally distressed, her body, arms, and legs looked very beautiful as she pursued her mischievous son. Full of pride and anger, Yashoda continued shouting to Krishna, "Stop! You thief and liar! How can you carry on like this? Where are you going? Just stop running and stand where you are." Krishna said, "I will stop if you drop your stick." After saying this, Krishna stopped running away, but kept a safe distance from his mother. Yashoda said, "If you are so afraid of being punished, why did you break my yogurt pot today?" Krishna said, "I will never do it again. Just drop your stick from your hand." Yashoda's mind turned into a boat of amazement as she tried to approach her son. But seeing her angry mood, Krishna quickly ran away again while speaking in a distressed tone. "Mother, please drop that big stick. Do not punish me, O sinless one. If you do this, I will come to you." After hearing Krishna's innocent appeal, Yashoda dropped the stick. Seeing this, Krishna stopped running. Absorbed in watching Krishna's transcendental pastimes, the immortal denizens of heaven felt totally amazed. One can easily understand how powerful demigods like Lord Brahma, who lives for trillions of years, became upset and bewildered upon seeing Krishna's pastimes of showing fear before his mother. They could not fathom how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is feared by fear personified, ran away in fear of a stick in his mother's hand. The fine hairs curling over Yashoda's face dripped with perspiration, and her blouse moved from her heavy breathing. Her hair hung loose from running, and her lotus face appeared exhausted. When she caught Krishna's hand, he said, "Mother, please do not beat me." While saying this, Krishna rubbed his tear-filled lotus eyes with his delicate palms, which resembled the petals of a fresh lotus flower. With a choked voice, Krishna slowly uttered some sweet yet indistinct words, which came out from his beautiful mouth like drops of nectar falling from the full moon. Indeed, it was a marvelous sight to see Krishna becoming overwhelmed in fear and crying helplessly.
Yashoda thought, "If I do not bind him immediately, he may run away into the deep forest." Yashoda then brought a grinding mortar and considered how to bind the one of boundless glories. Observing this, Krishna beamed an attractive smile. Yashoda ordered some maidservants, "O Karangavati and Lavangavati, fetch some smooth, soft rope made of jute." The attempt of Rajeshwari Yashoda to bind Krishna, the ever-well-wisher of the whole creation, immersed her in an ocean of joy. Soon, many opulently dressed elderly gopis, the embodiments of limitless motherly affection, came there along with several curious boys with clean, beautiful, curly hair. Mother Yashoda tied many ropes together, but they always measure 2 inches too short. Surprisingly, no matter how many ropes she collected, they remained 2 inches too short. She said, "Alas, this small distance seems to have become as vast as Brahma's universe. The Supreme Lord enacts this pastime by his personal energy to display his unlimited power." Observing this wonderful incident, the elderly gopis tried to relieve Yashoda's anxiety by saying, "O Yashoda, you are the most blessed one in creation. A minute ago you tied a small golden belt around Krishna's thin waist, but now you cannot bind him with all the ropes in your house. Despite the number of ropes you tie together, they always end up 2 inches too short. There is some strange cause behind this phenomena, so you better stop trying to bind your son." In great astonishment, Yashoda addressed the gopis. "O Vraja gopis, I have no more ropes, so please bring all the ropes stored in your houses." It was not out of fear that the gopis gave all their ropes to Yashoda, but they did so in order to see Krishna's glorious transcendental character and relish his blissful pastimes. Feigning anger, Yashoda took all the additional ropes and tried again to bind her naughty son. While enjoying this scene, the doe-eyed housewives of Vrindavan laughed quietly while secretly tasting a special joy in their hearts. All the blissful moods of spiritual love harmonized in Krishna's childhood pastimes. Though Krishna's hands were very delicate, his eyes soon pained from continually rubbing the tears falling from them. In a choked-up voice, he spoke some richly sweet words which captivated the minds of all. Finally, Krishna cried in a gentle, honey-sweet voice. Empathizing with Krishna, close friends like Subal also wept along with their bosom friend. Yashoda's heart palpitated with her heavy breathing, her hair loosened, and the flowers fell to the ground. Perspiring, tired, overwhelmed, and her labors frustrated, Yashoda sat down to rest and figure out how to tie up Krishna. A short time later, she tried again to bind her matchless son. The elderly gopis, having lost all desire to return to their homes, stood motionless while staring at Krishna with unblinking eyes.